thus have I heard the Exalted One was once staying near Savatthi at Jitaglobe in Anathapindika Park. There are these four sustenances, brethren, for the maintenance of beings that have come to birth, or for the forwarding of them that seek to become. Which are the four? Material food, coarse or fine. Secondly, contact. Thirdly, volition. Fourthly, consciousness. These four are the sustenances for the maintenance of beings that have come to birth, or for the forwarding of those that seek to become. This is Buddha's teaching that which occurs in Agama Sutra. The title of this chapter is called Sustenance. In the note, it says sustenance, ahara, A-H-A-R-A, ahara, is literally conveyance. The ahara means conditions bring their own fruit or effect. So in this case, ahara is translated as sustenances in English, which means sustaining. Sometimes sustenance means sustaining, or sometimes nourishment, kind of food. So sustaining, that sustenance is kind of food to nourish the body and mind. So the Buddha says there are these four sustenances. One is material food. This is very understandable because it is the usual food which we have in our everyday life. So this is a food which your body is nurtured by, for your life to be sustained. That's why from this point, the title of this chapter is called Ahara. The term Ahara is used for this chapter, which means sustenance or food, materialistical food and mental food to nourish your life, your body. Second, contact. Contact is kind of a physical contact. For example, human beings grow through lullaby. Nowadays, we emphasize so much
kinship.
It's also that, but we call it kinship. So you owe me S, huh? anyway, through coming in contact, with your body, and then your life is really nurtured. That's why the contact, physical contact, is really our food. Nurturing your body, your life, your body and your mind. So that's why Buddha says contact. Second sustenance is contact. And third, volition, will or volition becomes food which sustains your life. I think in Abhidharma culture, it emphasizes how important the will or volition is to sustain one's life, one's body and mind, even under unfavorable condition. How can I say? But the Abhidharma Kocha says that on the way to escape from a dangerous situation because no food, no clothes, etc. So the person try to escape from that situation. And on the way, the little boy became a little weak, so he didn't have enough energy to go farther of the steps. So his father tried to encourage him, assuring sandbag, saying, "This is a food for you. I carry the food."
Sandbag.
So he put the sand in the bag and carried, "This is your food, so let's go." And then he was really encouraged by this, sandbag, but he didn't know at that time. So later, he realized what it was in sandbag. Then the boy died. So that is the example the Abhidhamma Kosha said about how important the will or volition. So we go back to the modern state of our life now. If you become sick, make a doctor always give you the medicine, but I don't know. Sometimes make a doctor gives you kind of flowers. If you take that flowers, it recovers your headache and stomachache sometimes. That's different. So that's why volition and will is a kind of food which nurture your life. For consciousness. Consciousness is very helpful for the sustenance of life because if you are faint, you must regain consciousness as soon as possible. If you don't do that, you get into danger in life. You die. So if you faint, as soon as possible, anyway, you have to recover your consciousness. Even though you lose the consciousness by kind of traffic accident, it seems that there is no consciousness, but still consciousness is going, in a deep sense. So I don't think the consciousness exactly gone, even though you lose the consciousness by accident, traffic accident. So consciousness is very important because everyone has a very strong attachment to life or living, very strong attachment because you have a consciousness. Also, you are in constant fear of death. The more you have attachment to the life or living, the stronger you are in constant fear of death. But fear of death is not so bad because fear of death create a certain energies to live. Because you don't want to die. in Japan, I saw I read the little article in the journal of the New Age about the Japanese man who is 119 year old. He of the day, the reporter asked him, "What's the point? What's the point? You live long like that." He said, "I don't want to die." So he said, "I always think that I don't want to die." That consciousness is very good, very good food for you to survive. So, anyway, there are four food, okay, to sustain your body and mind. This is usual material food and contact, food of contact and volition and consciousness. Okay? And in later, the person named Pagna asked the Buddha. There is a conversation between Nyasabhati, the Pagna asked, the exalted one was teaching the doctrine of the four substances, and when he had named them, the venerable Morita Pagna, Phagguna Pagna, said to exalted one, "Who now is it, Lord, who feeds on the consciousness sustenance?" And then Buddha said, "Metaphysic questions. I am not saying someone feeds on. If I were saying so, to ask the question would be a fit one. But I am not saying so. And I am not saying so. If you were to ask me, 'Of what now, Lord, is consciousness the sustain?' This were a fit question." This is very interesting conversation between Pagna asked the Buddha, "Who feeds on?" In other words, who eats? Who eats? Well, for instance, if you practice Zazen and you attain enlightenment, and then you say, "Who knows? Who knows who prove you the experience of the enlightenment?" You say, "Teacher proves or Buddha proves." Finally, you don't know who is Buddha, so finally you don't know who. But the interesting question is that you are always seeking for who proves your experience, who eat. In other words, seeking for what subject. So this conversation or the four foods are kind of discussing about the subject. But in the Buddhism, it's pretty hard to find the appropriate term,
corresponding to subject in the Western psychology or Western etymology.
I don't know.
In the Buddhism, you don't have a particular term. So in Buddhism, that's why Buddhism use kind of a food term, use the term ahara, which means sustenance or food. The food or sustenance means conveyor. So that means subject. Talking about subject, what is a subject? What is the self? So this conversation, so Padma asks, who it means, what is the subject? What is the subject? What is the self? Who eats food? And then at that time, Buddha mentioned that question is not right. It's not right. Because Buddha says, I am not talking about eater or conveyor, or I am not saying someone feeds on. So Buddha says, there is a food already. Okay? There is a food already. So, fifth question is that you should ask, what is food? Why is it that food is here? Okay? Something like this. Instead of asking of who eat. If you ask of who eats food, means already you separate subject and object. But obviously in Buddhism, we understand the consciousness not as idea of being in terms of ontology, but the consciousness is understood in terms of its own function between such and the object and connected with the conditions, many conditions, and then consciousness appears. Same apply to the subject and the object, same apply to the relationship between subject and the object. So if you ask who it means always separate, so I am here and I am eating something. So that's why Buddha said it's not fit question. So fit question is that you should ask what food is, why food is here. So that's why Buddha says here, I am not saying so. If you were to ask me of what now, Lord, is consciousness the sustenance. This was a fit question. Then the partner also asked, who now, Lord, exercises contact? Not the fit question. Said the exalted one, I am not saying someone exercises contact. If I was saying so, the question would be a fit one. But if you separate all, I can come in contact with somebody, and then at that time you have to always seeking for who comes in contact with whom, always. In other words, human beings, the world exists now. From where world comes, the continuity, you have to seek for the beginning of the world. Even though you find the beginning, the origin of the world, it's not real origin of the world, because if you find the origin of the world, you want to see that another origin of the world. So you have to go constantly, endlessly. You have to seek for the what origin is. What origin of the world, from where all sentient beings come. So that is intellect. Intellectual understanding of what we are very curious of. So that's why Buddha mentions it's not fit questions, but you have to see, you have to keep your eyes open and to see what's going on here. Means here is a food. So that's why you are eating a food. So what is a food, or why food is here? This is a fit question for the Buddha. In other words, let's see the reality, where you are. And then you have to understand deeply the reality you live in. So that's why it says, if you were to ask thus, conditioned now by what, Lord, is contact? So, the point of this conversation is that idea of the subject is not allowed to accept. But it doesn't mean that the Buddha ignored the existence of subject, existence of the self. He doesn't say, because subject and object already exist. But instead of researching the subject and the object separately, well, you have to anyway understand the situation as a whole, related with subject and the object, and with all sentient beings, conditions, many conditions. This is fact, because your life is moving and alive from moment to moment before you analyze subject and object. So why don't you see this reality? So that's why he put aside idea of the self people are interested in. But it doesn't mean to ignore. But Buddha tried to take you to reality. You exist day by day. That's why Buddha mentions, come and see it. He always suggests to people, please come and see it with me. That is always that expression occurs in Buddhist scriptures, particularly Agama in Agama. So this is a very interesting point. It's not the idea, it's not the philosophical idea, it's not the metaphysical ideas. You have to research. But most important things, which is called the truth, is not ideas. It's something which exists right now. You have to see, you have to come to see. That's what Buddha mentions like this. Also in the Majjhimaka, Nagarjuna mentions Nagarjuna explains the meaning of subject philosophically, taking the example of the relation between the fire and oil. fire and oil. It's described in Majjhanika. Usually, in common sense, we believe that the oil burns. But according to Nagarjuna, the Majjhanika Nagarjuna doesn't accept. If actually, strictly speaking, fire burns. But we don't believe, because if you want to make a fire, you pour the oil into the fire and you test oil in the fire, and then you say the oil is burning. This is very common understanding. But he says not oil. He said that the oil is not burning, but fire is burning. And then fire is a subject. Apart from the object, so-called oil. Then Nagarjuna constantly explains about what the subject is. And then finally he says, subject as a fire is, it has something with something continuous. So from moment to moment, fire has something continuous. So that means kind of something eternal. But on the other hand, it's not something eternal or something continuous which exists for long without change. But that fire is always changing from moment to moment. So you can say real subject is fire. You can say so. And then the subject is something fixed, separate from the object. Or you can see the subject clearly, differently. You can grasp. But he says, no, you can't. Because fire is burning constantly, because it has something continuous, you know, on the basis of, on its basis. That's why fire can be burning constantly. But on the other hand, you can't say that is a subject. No, because it is changing constantly. That's why there is nothing particular so-called fire as a subject. What makes it possible for the subject to be so? So constantly nothing. For instance, food. If you eat the food, who eat? I eat. But that is a real subject. But in common sense, we believe I eat, so it is a subject. But actually, I don't think you eat, because if you eat, you know, then your stomach, food is digested by your stomach and intestines and etc. So, broadly speaking, you don't eat. Your stomach and your intestine eats the food. And then finally, food has been digested completely and is gone. The food is changing constantly from moment to moment. Finally, food turns into energies. So no food. So it's very difficult to say who eat. Because in Buddhism, always the understanding the subject and the object not as a fixed, always emulating in terms of its own functioning or process. So consciousness is what? Consciousness is nothing but the functioning, activity, or process. That is called consciousness, we say. That is called subject, we say, temporary. So I, it means not fixed idea, so-called I. That is a temporary, we say, I eat. The real I is nothing because real I can exist only in the relation with, you know, object and in terms of their its own functions, process. In terms of in the process of the eating or drinking and running, and then the subject and the object comes into existence. So without functions, you know, it's pretty hard to say what is subject, what is, you know, object. But the intellect always trying to get the subject first, and then you want to act, you want to do it. Of course, it is important, but a real subject doesn't exist actually. So if you depend on the subject in terms of your intellect, your life becomes very unstable. Because practically, or strictly speaking, subject and object are always changing. So if you want to know real subject, you have to continually move forward and practicing Zazen again and again. And then subject comes up naturally, from moment to moment. This is a fire. This is a fire. As a subject. So, Zazen is, that's why Zazen, you don't understand Zazen. What does Zazen mean? But if you do Zazen anyway, something you can realize, something there. Something. Which makes you possible to exist from day to day, from moment to moment. But you can feel something which you can depend on. But next moment, that is a what? If you ask, what is that? You don't understand what is that. Because it's moving. So all the subject exists right in the middle of process, in the process of the subject related with object and with all sentient beings. And then subject comes up, just like a flower blooming. So that is the point this sutra mentions now. I cannot spend lots of time today.
Could you say that thought pulls us away from our communion with
the inner thought?
That is
a characteristic of thought.
Yeah.
Because thought is originated from the activity of consciousness, very natural. So immediately the subject and object is separate. But there is something which make it possible for subject and object to exist, you know, before you have thought. So we have to understand that point. Through thought or consciousness, you have to go beyond thought. ended with, you know, lust, anger, arrogance, ignorance, something like this. So there is an attachment here that is characteristic of thought and consciousness. No, it's impossible. If the subject doesn't exist, the object naturally drops off. No object. Do you understand that one?
So does that mean that if oil doesn't exist, fire doesn't exist?
No.
Or doesn't exist, how can you make a fire?
Subject continue to exist if it becomes inactive, dependent upon activity for its existence?
Yes, it's a subject to always exist, subject to exist always, but subject exists always, but the subject is still something changeable always, just like fire. Subject exists when you act, when you practice, subject appears, always appears, just like a fire. But fire is not something fixed you can grasp in your hand, because constantly change. But right in the middle of process, there is a subject. But when you see the subject, immediately thought creates attachment to the subject you have seen. That's why, but strictly speaking, subject is exactly the same as the fire, so what you change is constantly, so naturally, you don't know who you are.